Hi, this is Zach Nugent, associate producer for Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. The band Guster has been touring the country since 1991, but even seasoned touring bands end up flying into the wrong city every once in a while. Ryan Miller, he's the guitarist, singer, and songwriter for Guster, was playing a show in Bloomington, Indiana a few days ago, but flew into Bloomington, Illinois by mistake. Once he realized his error, he tweeted, "The venue is 4 hours away, and the show is in 3 hours and 45 minutes. Hashtag challenge accepted." Well, he ended up making it to that show at the last second. Running on stage while throwing his luggage down next to the string players, he started singing without missing a beat. A day after rescheduling our interview with Ryan because of the Bloomington mishap, Word of Mouth's Virginia Prescott finally caught up with him, and they hit it off. So much so that we decided to share the unedited interview, which starts with our producer Taylor Quimby testing Ryan's levels. We usually do this by asking a question that our guests will have to answer in more than one word. Enjoy.
Okay, Ryan, can you just tell me what you had for breakfast?
I haven't had breakfast yet.
Oh. But
if I had my dream breakfast, it would be chicken fried steak with eggs and gravy.
That sounds good. Oh, all right, you sound great. I'm going to bring up our host.
Okay.
All right, what do you think, Virginia?
Well, that's exactly what I had for breakfast today.
I doubt that.
There's a lot of chicken fried steak in New Hampshire. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Wait, is there really?
No.
Because it feels like it's like...
It's kind of the Arkansas of the North, but still there's no chicken fried steak.
I'm glad that you said that, not me.
Yeah, we can get away with it. We live here.
Yeah.
Well, I got Vermont bona fide, so I can talk about some deep New England stuff.
Well,
too.
You have Boston bona fides, right? I mean,
it's sort of hard. I guess if you're a band for, what are we going on here, over 20 years, then with four members, at some point, it's like, how do you even, you know, it's like hurting cats.
Right.
I mean, we started in Boston, I guess we lived there forever, and then we all went to New York around the same time, and then were we a New York band? No, and now we're all just everywhere. So we have to claim something. So Boston seems as easy as anything.
Right, I guess Boston bands at that time too. By the way, I lived on College Avenue in Somerville for a while.
Whoa, what number?
You know, I was trying to remember that yesterday, but you know where the circle is, right? Powder House Square?
Yeah, sure.
There's a little sort of parkish looking thing, and then on the other side of that is a brick building, and I lived in that, I can't remember, it was called the Powder House something or other. I don't know, Powder House Arms.
And Brian, the drummer, and I lived in a house on Powder House Circle, 139. College Ave.
No kidding.
Yeah, we might have been neighbors. When were you there, though?
Well, I wasn't there until the 2000s. You guys were long gone and on, you know.
Why? Because you're like 25 and just
I'm extremely, extremely young. No, actually, I'm really old. But I lived there. I lived there just because I work in public radio and didn't have enough money for a decent apartment.
So where did you work when you
I worked at WBUR.
I actually
did the opposite track as you. I lived in, actually, New Orleans. I started in radio. Moved to New York and then moved to Boston. I did a fellowship and I stayed in Boston.
I have New Orleans fantasies. We were just there. I want to live there too.
Where did you guys play in New Orleans?
We played at House of Blues. We always played the House of Blues, which is sort of lame, but I love that place.
It is a great place.
It's a great town.
And they're really professionals there. They know how to do so.
Man, everything. Yeah. It's just too much.
It is a really, really great town.
I think it's my favorite city in North America.
I got to say, though, it's a tough city to live in a lot of ways. I mean, it's really great in a lot of ways, but it is one of those places that you go to retire in your 20s. You know what I mean?
Right. Well said. Yeah, I could see that happening for sure.
But it's good. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, me too.
Well, thank you. I know it's been a tremendous effort and a lot of catting and mousing for you to get together with us, and I really appreciate
it. Well, it shouldn't be. It's my own fault.
It's
so
okay. You know, this is funny. I don't know if you ever listen to Boston Radio, but Tom Ashbrook, who's the host of On Point.
Yes.
He's from Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, boy.
And everybody always mixed it up with Bloomington, Illinois.
I didn't even know Bloomington, Illinois was a place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've spent my entire life just traveling around circles in the country. You know what I mean? I should know that, I guess.
Well, you know.
But I don't fly. That's the thing. We're not like a flying band.
Yeah.
We like get in a bus and we go. And I was temporarily forced off the route. So I had to, improvise, and mm-hmm. I did it poorly.
Well, that's okay. I mean,
here we are.
Here we are, exactly. And I actually just discovered this letter from my grandmother. She was an Irish immigrant. She came over when she was like 15. She was working in Boston, thought she was taking a train to Concord, Massachusetts, and wound up in Concord, New Hampshire.
Yeah. See, and now all these stories are coming out. I don't feel so bad. Everybody's telling me these stories now, and trying to make me feel better. I'm like, I feel okay. You know, at least it was 4 hours away and not eight.
That's
I didn't miss the show.
Good thing.
You know,
we were wondering like about that. We were wondering if you were going to miss.
Yeah,
the show.
I googled the drive to get an idea how long you had. So.
I know, and I was going to live tweet the whole drive, but I'm like, wait, I'm driving. You know, it was pretty funny because the second that it happened, the first thing I did was I put it on social media, and then I told my bandmates by pointing them to the Twitter thing. It's so weird, but that's my instinct. I'm like, something terrible is happening to me. I need to tell everyone that I possibly know and don't know in the universe.
It's true. We're all with you, Ryan.
I know. I think it was that. I think it was empathy I was looking for. I'm like, please help me.
I totally get it. I really do. Okay, so we're going to talk about your new record.
Oh, okay.
And
you don't want to talk about New Orleans? And
I do, actually.
Yeah,
I could talk about that
too.
All day long.
Me too.
I wonder if other people would be interested.
Yeah,
and you know where the best shrimp and grits are?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and those beignets, they're not what they used to be. You got to go to Marigny for the real thing. Exactly.
Wow, that was very inside.
See, I can do it. I can play. I don't know where to fly. Tell me to go, but I can talk about some obscure food stuff and some cool up-and-coming neighborhoods and rockin' cities in North America. So you want to talk about new record? I don't know. What do you want to talk about?
Well, what were your influences? Just kidding.
Where'd you get the name Guster? Yeah. Wait, I thought this was supposed to be some kind of NPR, like Brainiac thing.
We were going to ask you how the hermeneutics played into.
Dude, let's go. Come on. Let's do it. I don't even know what that word means, but I can pretend.
Okay. I have a feeling that you could. We're going to talk about your new live record and play some music off of it. How's that?
That'd be awesome.
Okay. This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott, and you're listening to Do You Love Me off Live Acoustic. It's a new album from the band Guster that came out earlier this week. Guster's stripped-down acoustic tour is stopping at the Music Hall in Portsmouth on Saturday. The show is already sold out, which is kind of typical for the band that sprang out of Boston in the early 1990s and hit the pop charts with the 1990 song Fa Fa. Ryan Miller is guitarist, lead singer, and primary songwriter for Guster, and he's joining us now from, somewhere on the road, right, Ryan?
Somewhere.
Really
glad
to have
you. I don't know where I am, but I was just sitting in an Eames chair at a community college, so I was very happy about that.
That's pretty
good. I know. I felt good. I was like, where are we? And she's like, well, if you want to relax. I was like, the furniture's nice. She goes, we have some nice Eames chairs upstairs. Like, let's do it. I want to do an NPR interview and sitting in an Eames chair. That's perfect.
That is perfect. I was going to ask you if you had a pipe or a smoking jacket.
I'm getting one today, wherever we are in Ohio. Hey, that's the longest, by the way, that's the most I've listened to our new acoustic live record was just then when it was playing.
Wow. So you guys toss these things off and then what? You just move on?
No, I mean, this whole thing happened so quickly. We did this tour last spring in April of 2012, and we did this. We had been talking about doing an acoustic tour forever, and then we got these string arrangements, and then we went on the road, and half of it was Jeff Garlin, and then we just kind of documented it just to do it. And then, I don't know, some email went around in like October or November, like, we're going to do an acoustic album. We need to name it in a day, and we've already mixed it in. So I didn't even... that's why the name is so benign, Acoustic Live. Like, that's the worst name ever. How did that happen?
And we were kind of wondering how you came up with that.
Just terrible. You know, it's like we didn't do anything for like 8 months last year, and all of a sudden there was one day. It's like, you have to name the album. You have to prove the cover art. Like, the cover of that thing, they're like, we need to draw. And I drew something on an iPad, and I sent it, and like 10 minutes later it was the cover. It was so thrown together, and I never listened to it because I knew I couldn't change it. So I just listened to it. It sounded pretty good.
Yeah, it does sound pretty good. And there is a kitty cat, by the way, on the cover. I should let our listeners know. I just didn't know if you were going through the whole, you know, internet kitty cat love there.
No, it's a little bit blue for public radio, but it was a Jeff Garland. He had a joke that sort of culminated with a Waffle House. That's supposed to be a waffle, and there's a cat. It's sort of an inside joke. It looks like a steak, though. I'm not really a great artist. I probably shouldn't be doing cover art for albums.
I do want to mention, you said touring with Garland, Jeff Garland from Curb Your Enthusiasm. How did that come together?
We just sort of been friends for a while. He showed up at a show like 10 years ago, and we were massive Curb Your Enthusiasm fans, and he's just a fantastic guy, and we've been friends for years and years and years, and have been talking always kind of like obliquely about doing some kind of tour together. And as the music comedy thing started percolating more, we decided this would be a good opportunity to try, you know, fusing the two. So when we did this acoustic tour last year for the first time in the spring, half of it was by ourselves and half of it Garland jumped on the bus, and we kind of did this weird, he would do stand up, and then we have this kind of free for all Wild West section in the middle where we do requests, and he would come out and somewhat MC. It was all barely controlled chaos, but super, super fun and really exciting and scary and interesting, I think.
Well, since we now know that you guys plan things so carefully and are really strategic, I'm curious about the rules for the acoustic tour. So what's the rule? You can plug in an amp, no pedals?
Yeah, well, the main thing is that we're sitting down and that people are in seated venues, which we've never done before. I mean, we've always kind of fought against playing seated venues, even when we played, you know, the music hall in Portsmouth. We always like encourage people to stand up right away because we consider ourselves a rock band playing, you know, or pop band and playing, you know, rock music. So this is the conceit that we would sit and people would sit is sort of changed the philosophy and the context of everything. It feels like we kind of get away with some slower songs, some deeper songs deeper in our catalog. And also, like, we brought out a real piano, and we bring out a cellist and a violinist, and Brian's not really playing his percussion kit as much. So it's just sort of, you know, the idea is, like, we've been a band since we met in 1991, and we've been on the road. So the goal at this point is to keep trying to challenge ourselves to do some interesting things, especially with touring, in terms of what can we do that's going to really shake things up, that's going to make things more interesting for us, more interesting for our fans. How can we interface with the music in a way that's not like, hey, here's this band and they're going to play Demons for the 7,000th time, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that's sort of the MO just with the band in general, is just how do we keep scaring ourselves? How do we get ourselves out of our comfort zone every time we pick up an instrument?
Well, let's hear one of those old songs that you dug up for the live album. This is a little bit from Rocket Ship. Now, this is originally off of the 1998 album Goldfly. I am not to be mighty. I am not to be worshipped. Did it not to be strong, strong, strong. Implicate no others in this kind. I'm on a rocket ship. That's the song Rocket Ship, performed by Guster from their new Acoustic Live record. Since we're auditioning for this for you today, Ryan, what do you think?
That's weird. I'm kind of mad because I kind of wanted to get through life never having heard it. They're not really allowing me to do that.
Well, should I give you like a spoiler alert? You can just block your ears
exactly.
When we're going to play bits of your music.
You're going to be like, okay, you have 25 seconds. And I'll put my finger, not listening to you, not listening,
Well, one of the things your band is known for that, you know, so many people love about you, great pop hooks, really tight vocal harmonies and lots of playing around with rhythm track. I want to know how to pronounce his name first. Your percussionist, Brian Rosenworcel.
Wow. Look at you.
Well, you know, I do. This is an NPR interview. You are in an Eames chair.
We are next level there. I'm impressed.
Well, he's known for playing things almost exclusively with his hands. I'm wondering if he's using a drum set through this tour, or is he just going acoustic with his hands?
Yeah, no, he's doing more of the drum kit thing. There's sort of been all these different versions of our band, and I think these big distinct chapters, and I think the first like iteration of Guster was sort of defined by Brian playing exclusively percussion parts. And then after we made our album Lost and Gone Forever in 1999, he was feeling really stifled creatively. You know, I think he felt like he was stuck playing these certain kind of rhythms and this certain kind of way. And at that point, we kind of threw out the whole idea of us, you know, Adam and I both played acoustic guitars and he played this percussion thing. And for our next album, Keep It Together, we went to drums. Adam and I, we put a lot of keyboards, we played bass on everything. And so it was a pretty big shift in just the sonics of the band. Not so much how we approach songwriting, but just the sonics of the whole thing. So he's sort of, you know, now there's a really good mix of the both. You know, when we play electric shows, there's a pretty big mix of percussion and drums. But I mean, first and foremost, I think the band, especially in the second half of our careers, have really felt like we're a band that makes records and a band that writes songs. Mm-hmm. So it's like the instruments that we use are sort of they're not anywhere near as important as what serves the song. So that's sort of why he's stopped playing the percussion exclusively. And he does use his hands a little bit on this tour, but he's definitely sitting down at a trap kit.
Well, I'm curious about that because I think of you as one of these bands that people love to see live.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's sort of an interesting thing, the percussion thing. It was a calling card for us, I think, early on, and he's a very unique player, and it was a thing, you know, where it's like, how do you stand out from 100 million bands? And I think he had a very unique style, and it contributed to how we presented live, and it was sort of more visually compelling than just watching a dude play drums. But eventually, you know, just as turning into adults and starting to understand music more, like, well, let's not be a gimmicky band. I mean, there was a moment, you know, that I had reading the liner notes of Lost and Gone Forever, that last album we did with percussion exclusively, and it's like all the sounds were made using hand drums, no sticks. Mm-hmm. It was like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, I remember seeing that too, like on a Rage Against the Machine, like Tom Morello, those aren't keyboard sounds. Those are made using guitar. Mm-hmm. But like, I don't care about that stuff when I'm listening to music. I don't care if it's fake or if it's real, or if it was recorded with a $1 million studio or like a 4-track at home, as long as it's working for the song. So I think I sort of rejected that idea that music would come with this asterisk, that it was sort of like, oh yeah, but look at what they did. It's like, we didn't care about being that band anymore. I think we just wanted to make great records regardless of how they were created.
So I shouldn't ask you why you used synthesizer on Easy Wonderful?
Yeah, I mean, we don't care about that stuff. We're not purists in terms, we're not pushing an agenda of like, this is the sonics that we use. And I'm totally with bands that want to do that. It's not a slight to anybody that sort of defines their band that way. But again, everything has to be in service of the song, you know, and we just have a rule in the band. It's like best idea wins. And that comes with, you know, that's how we keep our egos in check, that no one sort of gets to overrule anybody else. But also it's true with our instrumentation of like, look, best idea wins. And we never felt like our records had to be completely replicated, you know, live, that you had to hear every note. So we're just trying to get the sort of ethos of it. And that's what's been sort of interesting about the acoustic tour, is we're forcing ourselves out of synthesizer zone and way multi-tracking, and how can we cover all this with just, you know, the four of us and these two string players. So there's this new approach to maybe these old songs that feels fresh for us, and it seems like it's working for the fans too.
Okay, well, plug your ears because we're going to hear another tune.
Oh, God, how long? I'll put
well,
it on my timer.
Let's see. I don't know, maybe 20 seconds.
Is this the first time you've done an interview where you had to warn the guy that you're about to play his music and to plug his ears?
Well, usually they're kind of behind the music that they're putting out there. I don't know.
Yeah. No, no. And I don't even think it's bad. I've been enjoying it. You know what? I'm going to unplug my ears for the next 20 seconds.
All right. How about this is Satellite, the hit single from your 2006 release, okay, Ganging Up on the Sun. Here's a live acoustic recording from the new album by Guster.
Shining like a word. Hanging on the wall, a star.
That's the song Satellite, and it's from the new Acoustic Live album from Guster. We're speaking with Ryan Miller of Guster. He's the guitarist, lead singer, and primary songwriter for the band. Ryan, you know, one of the things that struck me when I was listening to your songs anew with this album was thinking that, you know, they're sunny and optimistic on one level, but deceptively so. You know, like, you're young, 21, everything's under control, and all that gets blown to bits.
Yeah.
Wait, what is that? Is that something in your personality?
Well, I think it was something. It was something right from the very beginning that if we were going to write these sunny pop songs. I mean, for me, it was a lot of it came from just being a big, really big Smiths fan and a really big Morrissey fan, because I loved that about the Smiths, that mm-hmm. they wrote these massively poppy, crazy upbeat songs that was like, girlfriend in a coma, I know. You're like, wow, he's singing about his girlfriend being in a coma, and it kind of makes you. For me, it always felt like we could get away singing these super sunny songs if there was some weight that was underneath them that would kind of keep them from floating away. So I was always sort of attracted to these really sunny melodies that have these crazy, depressing lyrics, and that, you know, maybe 90% of the time people aren't even clued into it. I mean, like, yeah, like that song, Do You Love Me? Like, it was sort of less, the song to me at least, is not like, hey, do you love me? This is great. But it's about like the dissolution of this relationship that's like kind of like just developed into this sort of stagnant thing after 5 years. And the question isn't so much like, hey, is this we're falling in love and do you love me for the first time? It's more like, hey, we've been in this for 5 or 10 years and do you even love me anymore? You know what I mean? But mm-hmm. you would never, it's not something that you read when you hear the song, and not even necessarily we like to like point our fingers at. But I think that on some level kind of keeps the song from just being this like superfluous, like kind of bubble that just is like, oh, okay, that was nice. Because if you think about it, it's like, oh, wow, that, I don't know. It just hopefully gives it another layer. And it's definitely something that I always respond to in certain pop music.
Well, that's a question that I think a lot of couples come to after 5 years. Now you've been together as a band, what, since the early 90s. Do you sometimes look at them and say, okay, do you still love me? Are we still doing this?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, every record since probably Lost and Gone Forever, we've always had to fight the idea. Like, we'd always had to discover what it is we're trying to say. You know, there's no, I mean, especially in the last 5 years, I mean, we all have kids. We have, you know, between Brian, Adam, and I, we have 7 kids, you know, so it's like that kind of momentum is not keeping us at home. We're not a cool new band. You know, I lived in Brooklyn for 12 years, and so I was constantly exposed to cool new bands and awesome new sounds and really exciting stuff that's happening out there, and always constantly wondering how we fit into it and if we even did. And so even this last year, you know, this was the last summer was the first summer we ever took off and not toured. And I think it was sort of like, it was the longest sort of non-working period that we've had in being a band. And so there's a lot of, I mean, there's not a day that goes by that I don't think about, well, what is this? And mm-hmm. what are we doing? And do people care? And do I care? And, you know, especially as all these sort of other things that are happening in our lives, like I'm doing a lot of film scoring. Adam started a nonprofit for, you know, environmental touring, and he's testified in front of Congress a couple times. Brian just had twins. Like, there's all these sort of distractions that are out there. And so, yeah, there's a constant, you know, I think right now we're right at the beginning process of where we really feel like, okay, maybe we do have something to say for a 6th record, you know, or I don't even know what record it is, 6 or 7. Yeah, we're not in a position where we feel like it's just like, okay, we made a record, let's make another one. It's like we made a record and that might be our last one, unless we can find something really special to say, because we have a legacy to protect in this weird way.
Ryan.
Yeah.
We care.
No, I wasn't. I hope I wasn't asking that.
No, I think, but it is interesting because, you know, there is a point where a band that was big, like a lot of people that I know, loved you in college.
Yeah, dude, I mean, we could talk about this for 2 hours and it's probably boring for everybody, but it's the thing. I mean, it's my constant battle of like, do we have something new to contribute to the thing? And because you see other bands that maybe go on a little bit further than they should. And it's like, okay, as soon as it starts slipping into pure nostalgia is when I want to stop. And that's the big thing. It's just like, are we just going to be there for people to sort of like relive their college memories, or is there anything new we can contribute to the conversation? Because I don't think I want to be Steve Miller, you know, playing 1978. Not to knock Steve Miller, and I like Steve Miller, and I would probably go see him and want to kind of do that too. And we do that from time to time, but just as someone, as a dude that just turned 40 and feels like he still wants to be a vital artist, you know, I still want to contribute, and I don't want to just trade on the stuff that we used to do, even though I understand that there's value in there, and I'm a fan of music too, so I get it from the fan perspective, but I really, it has to be, there has to be something new that we're adding to it, and thankfully, you know, like Easy Wonderful, our last album, felt like, okay, when we play those songs live, the energy doesn't dip, you know, there's not like people like, oh man, it's these songs, we don't want to hear these. I mean, it so far, it's felt like we've only kind of kept it up, but again, we have to earn that every record. It's not just a foregone conclusion that that's going to be the case. So that's the bar that we have to hop over every time.
Well, Ryan Miller, guitarist, vocalist, lead songwriter for the band Guster, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and thank you for your kind words, and thank you for exposing me to the live album we just released for the first time.
Now you can sit in your Eames chair and order, like a pink squirrel or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Grasshopper. Guster's playing a sold-out show at the Music Hall on Saturday. That's January 19th, this Saturday. Their new album is Guster Live Acoustic. Is it Live Acoustic or Acoustic Live?
I don't know. What a terrible name. It's just awful.
We're going out listening to the song 2 Points for Honesty, originally released on their seminal 1999 album, Lost and Gone Forever. You can find details on Guster's show at wordofmouthradio.org.